أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللعنة الدائمة الباقية على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Dear brothers and sisters in Iman, I would like to begin by extending the tabarikat, the best wishes and prayers on this happy occasion that we are celebrating, which is a double celebration. It is the birth anniversary of the best of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as well as, very interestingly, it coincides with the birth anniversary of the founder of our Shia fiqh, our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat barna ikbara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of these two great personalities, bless the community and the humanity at large, and get rid of this negative impact of the coronavirus as soon as possible, inshallah. I begin with the beginning part of the second half of Surah Al-Fatiha. Millions of Muslims around the world recite this every day many times, where we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we say, اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, that Allah keep us on the right path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those whom you have blessed. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, not those on whom you have sent your anger. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, and neither those who have gone astray. This prayer that we do every day basically is an indication that we must be vigilant to stay away on this Salat al-Mustaqim, on the right path, and be always careful of the danger of deviation from the extremes of exaggeration on one side and degradation on the other side. And we actually pray for this 10 times every day. It means this is a very serious issue, to stay on the Salat al-Mustaqim, on the middle path, the straight path, and to stay away from the extreme of exaggeration and the other extreme of degradation of the special chosen ones among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping in mind that tonight we are celebrating the birth anniversary of the Prophet of Islam and the sixth Imam, and I would like to talk about the way that the Prophet established the parameters which help us to stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim and avoid those extremes. For example, if you look at the tafaseer of the Quran, the interpretations of Shias and Sunnis in general, you will see that when they talk about this issue of Sirat al-Mustaqim and the extreme of Maghdubi alayhim and Dhalin on the other side, normally they bring up this example of the prophets, how the nations, you know, dealt with the status of the prophet of their or on time. And we see there are three groups. On one extreme, you have those people who follow the Old Testament, and they basically degrade the status of the prophets. They consider them to be ordinary human beings who could commit sins. So you have the stories of Musa alayhi salam, and the most obvious example is of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, where, you know, he's being accused of everything from indecency, from adultery, as well as conspiracy to commit murder. And this is there in the Bible itself. So that's one extreme about how, you know, one of the past nations dealt with their own prophet. Then you have the other extreme, which elevates the status above what the status of a prophet should be. And this is the example of those who follow the New Testament, where when it comes to Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, basically they elevate his status. They do not only say that he's a prophet of God, they say actually he's son of God. Or they would say he's God himself when they talk about Trinity, the three in one. And so you have one extreme which is degrading the status of the prophets of their own time. The other extreme which elevates the status of the prophet to be the level of divinity. In between these two extremes we have Sirat-i-Mustaqim, the middle path, the path of moderation. And that is the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, salawat par nekbar. The Prophet of Islam was able to capture the hearts of his followers in a way that no other prophet was able to do that. And even though his followers love him immensely, he did not allow them to elevate his status to the level that it would diminish the tawheed and the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The balance was maintained. You know, and this is where I would like to, you know, briefly talk about the status of the Prophet and what did the Prophet do in order to keep that balance between, you know, respecting him, honoring him, as well as maintaining the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the Quran, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet as rahmatul lil alameen. He was sent as a mercy for the whole world. He is also described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he says, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. O Muhammad, we have elevated your name, your memory. It will always shine up. It's part of all these, you know, minor issues that we see happening when it comes to the issue of depicting the Prophet in cartoons and things like that. You know, from my point of view, these are all speed bumps. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. We have elevated your name and your memory. So let the enemies do whatever they want. They will never be able to diminish the status and the name of the Prophet of Islam. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give a special honor to his chosen servant when we look at the issue of Mi'raj, the ascension to the holiest point. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins describing that in Surah Bani Israel by praising himself. Subhanallazi asra bi'abdihi laylan. You know, blessed is the one who made his servant, you know, travel in the night journey. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the one who did this by bringing him to that level of Mi'raj. And he reached to the point where Quran itself says, وَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَى. He reached to a point where even the archangel Jibreel could not enter. And so that is the status of Rasulullah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat. Not only that, even when it comes to the way Muslims should interact with him. You know, in Surah Hujarat, Surah number 49 of the Quran, right in the beginning, two or three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this issue where he says that, O Muslims, even when you interact with him, you have to maintain the protocol of respecting him. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tuqaddimu bayna yadi Allahi wa rasulihi. O believers, do not go ahead of Allah and Rasul. not only in a physical sense, but once Allah and the Rasul have made a decision, you are not allowed to, you know, go ahead and make your own decision. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتَ النَّبِيِّ. All you who believe, do not raise your voice over the voice of the Prophet when you are talking to him. وَلَا تَجْهَرُ لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجْهَرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And do not even, you know, talk to him the way you talk to one another. And this is a very serious matter in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, أَنْ تَحْبَتَ عَمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. If you do this, if you disrespect the Prophet, you do not realize that that one sin of disrespecting the Prophet can erase all your good deeds in a way that you wouldn't even realize that. And so what we see in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who doesn't describe the method of doing the daily prayers, which Muslims will have to do till the end of Qiyamah, he doesn't give us the details of how to do the qiyam and the ruku and the sajda and what to say in it. But when it comes to the protocol of how you should maintain the respect in the presence of the Prophet, he goes into details. لا تقدموا, لا ترفعوا, لا تجهروا. And this is where we come to realize that not only that, even his words, what he says, what he does. When you follow Muhammad, you are actually following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُطِعُ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever has obeyed Rasul has actually obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is where we see this is Sirat-i Mustaqim. Unlike the Ahlul Kitab on one side and the Ahlul Kitab on the other side, we see that Muslims, you know, we have maintained the respect and honor for Rasulullah, as well as maintain the Tawheed and the level of divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have kept Allah at his level, we have kept Muhammad at his own level. We have neither degraded the Prophet nor elevated his stage, exaggerated his status to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we are to realize that, you know, from the Islamic point of view, when we talk about the Prophet, we have to realize that he was not just an ordinary person like anyone else. Yes, his body was like us. He used to feel hungry, he used to feel thirsty, or if he has been hurt, you know, or attacked, he would feel the pain. However, the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unlike our soul. Physically, he's like us. But on a spiritual level, he is unlike us. He's different from us. And I'll just give you one ayat of Quran from Surah number 59, ayah 21, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتُهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we had sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would see that the mountain would shatter into pieces out of this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so according to Quran, this process of sending down the revelation of the Quran, this was a very great matter. The great, strong mountains, you know, the strongest element on this earth are the mountains actually. The mountains don't have the ability to absorb the divine revelation. It would shatter into pieces if that happens. But the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so great that it was able to accept the spiritual weight of the Quranic revelation. Salawat parne ek baar. This is where we come to realize that the blessed person of Prophet Muhammad had two dimensions, like a mirror. One was the divine side of it, by which he was linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there was a human dimension. So the first one is the soul, the second is the body. And it is by the human dimension that he is linked with to us. And when it comes to the level of, you know, the love and respect that Muslims have for the Prophet, let me just describe to you one incident, and this is during the time of the event of Hudaybiyah. In the sixth year of the Hijrah, when the Prophet went with the Muslims, intended to go for Umrah, while Mecca was still in the control of the idol worshippers of that city, because there was danger that they might, you know, come out to fight, so the Prophet stopped in Hudaybiyah, which is just before Mecca, sent the message out there that we have only come to do Umrah, we don't have any hostile intentions, and we will do Umrah and then go back. However, the Meccans didn't allow that, and they sent delegates to basically talk to the Prophet, and eventually that discussion ended up in negotiation of the peace treaty known as Sulh Hudaybiyah, which was to be enforced for 10 years. One of the delegates sent was Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Saqafi, a very prominent member of the Arab society at that time. And he came to the Prophet and he said, you know, we urge you to respect the sanctity of the city of Mecca and return back, because if you go, there will be fight. And he, in a way, indicated that, you know, these people around you will not be standing with you. They would betray you. The Prophet said, you know, I have not come with the intention of fighting the Quraysh. I have come here with the intention of Umrah. Eventually, you know, it ended up in the peace treaty, and Prophet didn't go for the Umrah. He went back to Medina. But Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Saqafi, when he went back to Mecca and he talked to the elders of Quraysh, it is interesting what he talks about the Prophet to them. He says, you know, he says, O men of Quraysh, I have visited the courts, royal courts of Khusru, the emperor of Persia, Caesar, the emperor of the Eastern Roman Empire, even the royal court of Negus, the Egyptian king. By God, I had never seen a king attaching himself to his people as Muhammad does with his own people. His companions love him and honor him. And he describes something. He says that I saw him that when the time of prayer came and when he was doing the ablution, wudu, these companions around him, they were sitting there very, very, you know, attentive, and they did not leave, you know, they did not leave even a single drop from the face and the forearms of the Prophet falling on the ground. They would go and actually put their hands there to pick the water, the remnant from the wuzu of Rasulullah. They considered that water to be a barakah and a blessing for themselves. You know, I don't know what the Wahhabis would do if they had seen that. That even the water touched by the blessed face and forearms of Rasulullah were considered to be barakat by the Sahaba. And so this is what, you know, Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Saqafi describes to the Quraysh. And this is where he says that they are so attached to him that they will not leave him alone if it comes to fighting. So his view changed about the Muslims' attachment to the Prophet. And so this is just one example of how the Muslims respect and revere the Prophet. But this is a very important point. Yet he made sure to protect the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people should not elevate and exaggerate his status and to take him to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not only do in words, actually he initiated a process, and he made this part of the Muslims' daily prayers. 5 times a day we pray. And if you look at the prayers, you know, at least 9 times every day Muslims in tashahhud, what do? They begin by the words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. That we testify, I testify that there is no God but Allah. Wahdahu la sharika lah, emphasizing on this point, He is one, alone, and He has no partner, nobody equal to Him. So that is the kalima of Tawheed. And then we come to the second one. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I testify that Muhammad is abduhu wa rasuluhu. You see, in our normal kalima, we just say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. But here in daily prayers, 9 times a day, we are required to say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abduhu. I testify that Muhammad is the servant of Allah. Wa Rasuluhu, and then I say he is his messenger. This issue of Abdiyat is being emphasized 9 times every day by millions of Muslims around the world. We are reminded again and again that you should respect, revere, honor, remember, and follow the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, but always remember that he is first the servant of Allah and then the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat par nek bara. This is where we come to realize that, you know, Prophet Muhammad's greatest achievement is that he allowed his followers to respect and love him more than their own parents and children. There are ayat of Quran about it. Yet the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only God who has no partner and equal is also maintained. And this was enshrined in the tashahud of the daily prayers of the Muslims. And so a Muslim would have this intense love for Rasulullah. The devotion for Rasulullah in the prayers sometimes, for example, on the day of Arafah, one of the du'as we say that, oh Allah, we believed in your message brought to us by Rasulullah, although we have not seen him, we have not heard him. We only received his message through the narrators and the reporters and the ayat of Quran, but we have not seen or heard the Prophet himself. So, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, do not deprive us of seeing the blessed face of Rasulullah. This is the wish and the desire of every Muslim, that if not in this dunya, at least in the akhirah, we will be able to see the blessed face of Rasulullah. That is the ultimate wish of a mu'min and a believer. And so this is where we have to realize that, you know, one of the greatest of achievements of Rasulullah is that he taught Islam to us in such a way that the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maintained. We are on Sirat al-Mustaqim, and even the status of Rasulullah is maintained as the Abd and Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the special honor and privileges that Allah has given to his Abd and his Rasul. Salawat. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, when we talk about Islam, especially from the Shi'i perspective, we consider Muhammad to be the second when it comes to the priorities and importance given after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we maintain that, as we call it, hifz-e maratib in Urdu, to maintain that protocol of divinity at its rightful level and the level of prophethood on its rightful level. We do not degrade, nor do we exaggerate when it comes to our Prophet. Similarly, when we talk about our Imams, all the Imams, from Amir al-Mu'mineen to the rest, among his descendants, they also had the same approach, that they would talk about themselves that we are not like you. Our status is not like ordinary members of the Ummah. We are at a higher status, but remember, do not exaggerate our status. Do not exaggerate us to go above the levels of Rasulullah himself or the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll just give you just one example here from the words of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, salawat bar nek bara. And this is in the second khutbah of Nahjul Balagha, which is a longer khutbah. If you look at the subsections of it, there is a section about Ahlul Bayt, where Ali says very clearly, لَا يُقَاسُ بِعَالِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَحَدٌ. No one from the Ummah can be compared to Ali Muhammad. Why? وَلَا يُسَوَّى بِهِمْ مَنْ جَرَتْ نِعْمَتُهُ عَلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. Because a person on whom their blessings flow can never be equal to them. They are the source of the flowing of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Ummah. Since they are the intermediaries there, they are not same to the level of the Ummah. They are high and above the level of the Ummah. هم أساس الدين وعماد اليقين. They are the foundation of the faith and they are pillar of certainty. إليهم يفيء الغالي وبهم يلحق الطالي. This, you know, relates to this dua from Surah Fatiha. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. He says, إليهم. You know, those who exaggerate their status, the ghali, have to come back to the imams. Means they have gone even ahead of the imam themselves. They have to come back. وَبِهِمْ يَلْحَقُ الطَّالِ. And those who fall behind in recognizing their true status, they have to catch up to the imams because they are, falling behind in recognizing the true status of the Imam of Ahlul Bayt. So those who go ahead of the imams, they have to come back to the imams. Those who knowingly, fall back and don't go to the level of the imam to recognize their status, both groups have to modify and reform themselves. Otherwise, they are in the one extreme or the other extreme. لهم خصائف حق الولاية وفيهم الوصية والوراثة. Because the Ahlul Bayt have the right of wilayat, authority after Rasulullah among the Ummah. They are the successors and they have the inheritance on a spiritual level. So what we see is that the Ahlul Bayt clearly explain that they are not just ordinary Muslims like the rest of the Ummah. They are at a different level. But at the same time, they have always warned us against this both extremes of the Ghali and the Tali. Those who go to the level of exaggeration and those who go on the level of degradation. You know, sometimes even among some people, a very fringe element says, oh, they were just very righteous people, that's all. No. As Amir al-Mu'mineen started by saying, nobody can be compared to them from the Ummah because they are the source of the ni'mat and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the ni'mat of guidance or the other ni'mat. Salawat upon the Akbar. Since we are also celebrating the birth anniversary of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, it is appropriate here to narrate to you one incident about this warning that the Imams have given to us, that believe in us according to the true status that we have, and that is only given to us by them, in their words. Zurara bin Ayun, one of the prominent companions of the sixth Imam, has a narration. He says one day he went to the presence of the sixth Imam and he said that there is a person from those who are ghali, and he believes in tafweez. Tafweez means the delegation of, absolute authority to the human beings to an extent that Allah would have no power at one level. So this is one kind of definition. So Imam said, what does he mean? وَمَا التَّفْوِيز in his views? And Zurara said, well, when I discussed this with this fellow, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَلَقَ مُحَمَّدًا وَعَلِيًّا ثُمَّ فَوَّضَ الْعَمْرِ إِلَيْهِمَا فَخَلَقَ وَرَزَقَ وَأَحْيَا وَعَمَاتَ. Zurara bin Ayun says that this ghali person who exaggerates the status of the imams, He said that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Muhammad and Ali and then delegated all the powers to them, and in a way, and these are my words, as if, you know, Allah went into retirement. فَخَلَقَ وَرَضَقَ. And so then, after Allah having created Muhammad and Ali, then it was Muhammad and Ali who created everything. They gave sustenance to everything. They gave lives to the living things, and they gave death to the things which die. Imam responded by saying, كَذِبَ عَدُوُّ اللَّهِ. This enemy of Allah is a liar. إِذَا رَجَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ فَقْرَ عَلَيْهِ الْآيَ الَّتِي فِي سُورَةِ الرَّعَدِ. O Zurara, when you go back to him, when you meet him again, then recite to him this one ayat from Surah Ar-Ra'd, which is Surah number 13, ayat 16. And what does that ayat says? Imam said just this one ayat should be sufficient against this exaggerating group. Am ja'alu lillahi shuraka. Have they appointed partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were equal to him in all sense? خَلَقُوا لِكَخَلْقِهِ. That Allah creates and they also created things. فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And they got confused with the created things of Allah and them. قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The ayat goes on. Say, Allah is the creator of everything. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارُ. And He is one. And He is قَحَّارُ. He has absolute control over everything. Zurara says, فَنَصَرَفْتُ إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ. Then one day, then I went to him and I told him this ayat, which the Imam had recited. As soon as I finished reciting this ayat, he was dumbfounded. As if, you know, he didn't have the ability to speak. And this is from Etaqadat of Sheikh Saduq. And so, we see the example of you know, those people who confuse and go to one extreme of exaggeration, and how Imam considered those people to be aduwullah, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you can never say that Allah delegated the power in a way, now He has no more power or control over what's going on. No. You have examples, for example, in Quran, in one place Allah says, I cause people to die. In another ayat, Allah says, Malakul Maut takes the soul. Means in one ayat, He says, I am the one who takes the souls of the human being when they die. In another ayat, He says, it's the angel of death who does that. There is no contradiction there. And there is no issue of exaggerating the status of the angel of death. Because the angel of death, whatever he does, that tafweez is conditional. Allah has delegated the power and authority to the angel of death, yet he has the absolute control still there. Unlike to those who ghali, who believe that once Allah gives the power to those who are chosen ones, then he has nothing to do with the universe, he just goes into retirement. And that is the distinction which has to be maintained. So even when we talk about, for example, Isa ibn Maryam, according to Quran, you know, he demonstrates the mu'jiza of bringing a dead person back to life. He does that with the power given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without divesting the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the important point there. So a person can have those powers, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His absolute power even on that individual, and even on the processes that they go through by demonstrating the miracle and the mu'jizat. Salawat upon the Ikbara. Let me end with two more sayings from the our Imams on this issue. One is again from Amir al-Mu'minin, where he says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِينَا. He says, I warn you about exaggeration in regard of us, the Ahlul Bayt. قُولُوا إِنَّا عَبِيدٌ مَرْبُوبُونَ. Say clearly that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt are abid. They are the humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, marbubun. They are nourished and they are provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not rab, they are marbub. And they are abd. وَقُولُ فِي فَضْلِنَا مَا شِئْتُمْ. He says, after you have, you know, maintained that protocol of tawheed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognized us as abd and marbub, servant who are provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can say whatever you want about our qualities and about virtues. So maintain that protocol of Allah as Allah and the Imam as a chosen one there. And then there is no problem in describing our fadail. قُولُوا فِي فَضْلِنَا مَا شِئْتُمْ. After you have maintained that difference in the protocol of Allah and the Imam, then you can say whatever you want. In another hadith, and there are many hadith of this type, which even Allah Majlisi in volume 25 of his Biharul Anwar has put them together, where he says, one of the Imams says, and this is a repeated statement from various Imams, نَزِّلُونَ عَنِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. You know, bring us down from the level of lordship and being God. وَقُولُ فِي حَقِّنَا مَا شِئْتُمْ. And then say whatever you want about our fadail and our virtues and our excellent qualities. Salawat parnik para. Shiaism is actually the middle path, which stays away from the extremes of exaggeration as well as degradation of Rasul as well as the Aimma of Ahlul Bayt. We should not shy away from describing the fadail of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, but not at the expense of our Tawheed. Nor should we talk about them as just normal human beings. They are the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessed by Him with knowledge, which as a blessing from God, infallibility, which is the highest spiritual level that they have, and they are the authorized wasila and intercessor to seek the divine blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that wisdom to maintain that sirat-i mustaqim and keep us away from the ghulu and taqseer, exaggerations on both sides. Salawat parnik bala. لاکھوں اور کروڑوں کی تعداد میں مسلمان روزانہ تشہد پڑھتے ہیں نماز میں، لیکن ہمیں اس کے بارے میں سوچنا چاہیے کہ یہ تشہد جو ہے صرف ایک معمولی جملہ نہیں ہے، یہ نماز کا صرف ایک معمولی حصہ نہیں ہے، بہت اہم ہے. اس میں ہمیں روزانہ یاد دلایا جاتا ہے کہ دیکھو، ہمیشہ صراط مستقیم پر رہو، اور جو افراط و تفریط کی جو منزل ہے اس سے ہمیشہ خبردار رہو اور دور رہو، اس لیے کہ خطرہ روزانہ ہے. نو بار ہم دعا کرتے ہیں، خداوندہ ہمیں صراط مستقیم پر رکھ، مغضوب علیہم کے راستے سے دور رکھ اور ضالین کے راستے سے بھی دور رکھ. یہ دونوں جو ہیں، ایک غلو ہے ایک تقصیر ہے. ہمیں صراط مستقیم پر رہنا ہے. تشہد میں ہم کرتے کیا ہیں؟ سب سے پہلے جو ہے خداوند عالم کے وحدانیت کی گواہی دیتے ہیں، اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، کہ اللہ کے علاوہ کوئی اور ہمارا خدا اور نہیں ہے، وہ ایک ہے، واحد ہے، اس کا کوئی شریک نہیں ہے. اور پھر ہم گواہی دیتے ہیں نبوت و رسالت کی، واشہد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. کلمہ میں ہم ہمیشہ کہتے ہیں اشہد ان محمدا رسول اللہ، وہاں ہم کہتے ہیں، ہم گواہی دیتے ہیں کہ محمد اللہ کے رسول ہیں، لیکن یہاں پہ تعبیر تھوڑا بدلی ہوئی ہے. ہم گواہی دے رہے ہیں کہ محمد اللہ کے عبد ہیں، پھر ہم کہتے ہیں کہ وہ اللہ کے رسول ہیں. یعنی محمد کی عبدیت کا اعتراف پہلے ہے اور ان کے رسول ہونے کا اعتراف اس کے بعد ہے. اور اس طرح سے رسول اسلام نے اس سسٹم کو اس طرح سے برقرار رکھا ہے کہ مسلمان کے ذہن میں کبھی بھی وہ مراتب میں جو ہے خلط اور مکس کرنے کا چکر نہیں ہوگا. اللہ کا مرتبہ اپنی جگہ پہ ہے, رسول اسلام کا مرتبہ اپنی جگہ پہ ہے. وہ اللہ اللہ ہے, وہ ہمارا خالق ہے, رازق ہے, وہ ہمارا رب ہے. محمد اسی رب کے عبد بھی ہیں اور اس کے رسول بھی ہیں. اور اس کے بعد والا جملہ بھی بہت ہی اہم ہے اس موضوع کے سلسلے میں جو ہم نے آج آپ کے سامنے پیش کیا ہے, کہ توحید کی گواہی کے بعد اور نبوت کی گواہی کے بعد ہم کہتے ہیں اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد, یعنی اللہ اور رسول کے بعد محمد کے ساتھ آل محمد کو شامل کرنا لازمی ہے. اس لیے کہ محمد کے بعد ہمارے ہادی, رہنما, ہمارے سورس دین اسلام کے وہی ہیں. اور یہ تمام مسلمان, چاہے وہ شیعہ, صوفی, سنی ہوں یا وہابی ہوں, سب پڑھتے ہیں روزانہ. لیکن اس میں بھی جہاں فضیلت اہل بیت کی بات آ رہی ہے, اس صلوات میں بھی ایک اہم میسج ہے. جملہ جو ہے یہ صلوات کیا ہوتا ہے, اس کا آغاز ہوتا ہے اللہم, خطاب ہمارا اللہ سے ہے. صلی علی, خداوندہ رحمت نازل کر اپنی محمد اور آل محمد پر. یعنی ہم نے نماز میں بھی اللہ کی وحدانیت اور محمد کی رسالت کی گواہی کے بعد آل محمد کو شامل کیا ہے محمد کے ساتھ, لیکن اس عنوان سے کہ خداوندہ تو پروردگار ہے, سب کچھ تو ہے, تجھ سے دعا ہے کہ محمد و آل محمد پر بھی اپنی رحمت اور برکات کو نازل فرما. جب آپ دعا کرتے ہیں آل محمد کے لیے, اس میں دونوں بات آ جاتی ہے کہ یہ اللہ اور رسول کے بعد آل محمد کو بھی یاد کرنا ضروری ہے. لیکن یاد رہے کہ غلو سے کام نہ لیں, بلکہ یہ وہ لوگ ہیں جن کے لیے ہم دعا کرتے ہیں, اور ہمارے یہ دعائیہ جملہ جو ہے صلوات میں در حقیقت ہماری وفاداری اور ہمارے اظہار محبت کا طریقہ ہے. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار اور. بس آخر میں نسیم امروہی کے کچھ اشعار ہم آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا چاہیں گے اس عنوان سے کہ ہمیں محمد کو عبد الہی تو ماننا ہی ہے, لیکن یاد رہے کہ یہ عبد خاص سے الہی ہیں. خداوند عالم کی عنایت ان پہ ہیں, خدا کی نظر ان پر ہیں. یہ معمولی انسان نہیں ہیں, یہ وہ انسان ہیں جن کو خداوند عالم نے ان فضائل اور کمالات سے نوازا ہے جو ہمارے لیے ہمارے ادراک سے بھی ماورا ہے. اور اس کی انہی اس عقیدے کی عکاسی نسیم امروہی نے بڑی خوبصورت انداز میں کی ہے, اسی پہ ہم ختم کرنا چاہیں گے. اول تو جسم کا نہیں سایہ یہ معجزہ. رسول اسلام کا سایہ نہیں ہوتا تھا جسم کا. پھر بے پڑھے جہاں کو پڑھایا یہ معجزہ. کسی اسکول میں نہیں گئے, کسی ٹیچر کے پاس نہیں گئے. پھر بے پڑھے جہاں کو پڑھایا, پوری دنیا کو پڑھایا ہے, یہ ایک معجزہ ہے خود ہے. پھر ایک شہر علم بسایا یہ معجزہ. وہ نبی جو کسی کے پاس پڑھنے نہیں گیا تھا, اس نے شہر علم بسایا ہے, خود ہی ایک معجزہ ہے. حیدر صدر پھر اس میں بنایا یہ معجزہ ہے. اور اسی شہر مدینہ میں جو دروازہ بنایا, جو در بنایا, وہ حیدر کی شکل میں ہے, خود یہ معجزہ ہے. خود حیدر جو ہے محمد کا ایک معجزہ ہے. پھر معجزہ کتاب کا آیا جہاں میں, اور قرآن خود جو ہے کتاب کی شکل میں, یہ سب سے بڑا معجزہ رسول اسلام کا تھا. اللہ بولتا ہے نبی کی زبان میں, اللہ لوگوں سے کلام کر رہا ہے محمد کی زبان میں. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار اور. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے, خداوندہ اس قلیل بات قبول فرما. خداوندہ ہمیں وہ توفیق دے کہ ہم صحیح معنوں میں محمد آل محمد کی عظمت کا ادراک کر سکیں, اسے سمجھ سکیں, اور ہمیشہ اس راستے پہ رہیں جو صراط مستقیم کا راستہ ہے, تاکہ غلو و تقصیر کے ان افراد و تفرید سے ہم بچ سکیں. خداوندہ جہاں جہاں مسلمان ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ, اس رحمت للعالمین کا واسطہ، کہ جہاں جہاں تمام مسلمان ہیں، جہاں جہاں تمام انسان ہیں، ان کو اس محمد کا واسطہ کہ ان کو کرونا وائرس کی اس مصیبت سے محفوظ رکھ۔ خداوندہ جہاں جہاں شیعان علی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ۔ تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما۔ ہمارے امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔ صلوات پڑھنے کے بعد، اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد۔